Happy Monday, everyone. It is December the 19th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinand Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for future episodes, send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can also email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep the conversation in the airwaves by supporting this podcast. You can share it online. Leave us a good review on iTunes, Spotify. Just keep the conversation of Jesus Christ alive.
That's right. You can also do that over on social media. Visit our Facebook page, Clearview Today, and follow us on Instagram as well, Clearview Today Show. You'll find images for the verse of the day. You'll find upcoming topics that we're going to discuss this week, as well as on Facebook, of course,
the video.
The video podcast.
Y'all can see me. You see me in real life right here? Guess what? The radio audience can't do that.
Yep.
Radio audience, go on, scoot over there to Clearview Today on Facebook.
And I would be interested to know from our radio audience, do we look like what you thought we sounded like?
We look like the same person.
We do look like the same person.
If we switched clothes, I honestly think we should switch clothes, switch chairs, see if anybody even notices.
No. No one's going to notice.
We had a person here at Clearview Church early-ish during Ryan's time here.
Within the first year,
I would say, so
year or two,
who did not know that we were two people.
Yeah,
the first time that person saw us together, she was like, what? She was like, I need to go home. I don't know what there was. You, and then you were there, but now you're over
but
here.
Now you're here. I think you were there.
Yeah, we're two people.
Yeah, we are actually two different people.
Yeah.
Shall I do the verse of the day?
No.
Okay, well, this has been Clearview Today.
Yeah, go ahead.
The verse of the day today comes from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Mm. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
That's the key word, is you got to be trained. And there's no, just like he said, there's no chastening at all that's joyful in the present. That hurts when you're going through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Discipline is not fun.
That's right.
Discipline is no fun at all. It's painful. But nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You're going to be glad you went through that.
Yeah. Well, as parents, you discipline your kids. Why? Not because you don't like them, but because you love them and you want them to turn into decent adult human beings.
Right. I want to know that you know how to act.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So discipline isn't pleasant, but it's necessary for our growth.
Yeah. And that's sometimes important to hear, especially when you're going through it. Maybe you're going through a time of discipline right now. It feels like you're being punished, right? It feels like this is just retribution. It's not. It's to prosper you, and it's to further you, and it's to help you be the person that God wants you to be.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's Christmas week.
I knew you were going to be excited.
I'm so excited.
How's your shopping coming?
So the shopping is mostly done at this point. Mm-hmm. All of the stuff that we have to go out and buy is done. We do have a few things.
Is my present bought?
It is.
Yeah? What'd you get me, man?
I'm obviously not going to tell you that.
I'll tell you what. Because this won't air until the 19th, I'll cover my ears, and now you just kind of tell them what you got me.
I'm not going to tell you what I got.
Is he done talking? Is he done? Because I can't.
I'm done.
Get my hand on. Okay, cool. He's done.
I'm going to give you what my parents gave me growing up when I would ask, what is it? Or I'd ask for hints.
Uh-huh. What was it?
It moves up and down and sharpens itself.
Moves up and down, sharpens itself. What on earth is that?
It's just a fake hint. There's nothing on it. Oh. It moves up and down and sharpens itself. There's nothing that exists.
There's no punchline.
That does that. Right.
Okay.
It's not like a self-animated knife sharpener or anything.
I got you. Okay.
That's the joke.
So all your sharp,
a fake hint.
But your shopping is mostly done.
It is. There are a few things that we've ordered that are still being shipped to us, but mm-hmm. they should be delivered either today or tomorrow, I believe. Hey. And then it's just a marathon of wrapping.
Yeah, you're in the end game now, my friend.
Oh yeah. The actual shopping portion is done. Yeah. Now it's just the delivery and the wrapping.
I got you.
What about you guys?
Ellie is like really close to giving birth. So, probably we're not going to be, which we knew going into this was not going to be, this was not going to be something we were going to be really good at this year. So we kind of told people like, hey, we're going to try to get you something, but if it don't,
the baby is the gift. A thoughtful card and a firm handshake.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to get a nice pat on the back and you can hold the baby and smell his head if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's honestly the best gift.
And we told people, please, for goodness sake, we tried this 2 years ago when Gavin was born. Do not bring toys to this house. We don't want toys for this baby. And people were like, well, we got to get him toys. Your toys are going to end up in the dump. Please do not bring toys to the house. We are already trying to get Gavin's toys under control. This baby does not know where he is. He does not know what Christmas is or what toys are. Do not bring toys to the house.
I have bad news for you.
You bought him toys.
They're not toys, but we did buy him a present.
That's fine. You can buy him a little
present. But it's not toys because he's a little tiny baby.
Look, people get excited, man. They want to buy the baby a present. It's all good. But then I get like 8 or 9 Bigfoot cars to the house. We get like
everything lights up. Everything needs batteries.
Everything talks nonstop, sings nonstop. Come on, let's play. Come on, little rocker, hit those drums. I hear that 24/7.
Nice.
Go home.
Love that.
I love that for me.
Love that for you.
Yeah. But you know what they say, man, that people say you're going to miss that. You're going to miss it when you're gone.
Speaking as someone who's further along in like the ages of their kids, you actually will. I know that seems ludicrous because when people told me that when my kids were like 2 and 3, I was like, are you kidding? I can't wait to get these toys out of my house.
Right.
But now I'm like, I kind of do miss it a little
bit. There are moments where I'm holding Gavin and I don't know if it's worse or better when you're aware of it, but I've been holding it and I'm like, I'm going to miss this.
Uh-huh.
I am going to miss, like, I need to soak this up this moment because I'm going to look back on this and wish I were here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on today's episode, we are talking about a term that you may or may not be familiar with. We're talking about the proto-evangelion.
Now, that is a science fiction term.
That is a $10 vocabulary word.
Yes, that is what Commander Kirk had in his starship. What is the
proto-evangelion?
It sounds like it.
The proto-evangelion, Dr. Shaw's going to talk a little bit more about this, but it takes place all the way back in the book of Genesis. It literally just means first gospel or first good news.
That's right.
And just funny, you know, little tidbit for you or interesting tidbit, that word evangelion, which is the Greek word for good news, that's actually where we got our daughter Evangeline's name from.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
it's same word. What's good news.
Evangeline Grace.
Evangeline Grace. Her name means the good news of God's grace.
Oh, I like that.
So
that's awesome.
That's just free for all of you who are listening.
Very cool.
We're going to talk about the proto-evangelion. What does it mean? How does it impact our understanding of Christmas? But if you have questions for Dr. Shaw or suggestions for future episodes, send us a text at 252-582-5028 or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We're going to go get Dr. Shaw and we'll be right back.
Hey there, listeners. My name is John.
And I'm David.
And we just want to take a second and talk to you about Dr. Shaw and Nicole's new book, 30 Days to a New Beginning, Daily Devotionals to Help You Move Forward.
No matter who you are or where you are in life, you're going to get stuck. You're going to have goals that you just can't seem to reach, and you're going to be looking for some new way to start over.
Unfortunately, life does not have a restart button. But here's the good news. God's mercy is new every day, right? And so that means every day is a new chance for you to start over.
Now, Dr. Shaw and his wife, Nicole, have written a new 30-day devotional in their 30-day series designed to give you practical tools for starting over. No matter where you are in life's journey or what pitfalls you've encountered, this devotional is going to help you move forward, refocus your mind on God's truth, and meditate on his word.
Mm-hmm. And you guys can pick up a copy right this second on Amazon.com.
Unless you're driving.
Yeah, don't shop and drive, unless you're driving, in which case, wait till you get home. But we're going to leave a link for you right here in the description of this podcast, so it'll be waiting for you when you get home. That's 30 Days to a New Beginning, Daily Devotionals to Help You Move Forward.
And for the remainder of November and all through December, we'll be sending a free copy to anyone who supports the podcast by visiting us online and donating to the show at clearviewtodayshow.com.
That is a very, very good incentive, gang. That's 30 Days to a New Beginning, Daily Devotions to Help You Move Forward by Abaddon and Nicole Shaw. Thank you guys so much for listening. David, you want to jump back into the show?
Let's go.
All right.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abaddon Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, send us a text at 252-582-5028. Dr. Shaw, welcome back to the studio this Monday. How are you today?
Doing very well. Had a great weekend and excited about this week.
That's right.
Amen.
Excited about our show today.
Well, we hope you guys are excited about the upcoming week, too. If this is your first time ever listening to the show, you're unfamiliar with Dr. Shaw's work. Dr. Abaddon Shaw is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. He's a professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. If you're wondering where you can find his work, you can find it on his blog, abaddonshaw.com.
That's right. And as we are headed into the week before Christmas, This is the week leading up to Christmas.
I know.
Well, I mean, I was like marking off the days on the calendar.
Yeah, so. You actually had like the big calendar up top.
I did the paper chain thing.
Hear ye. Can everybody hear me? You cross it off.
Hear ye. Another day gone.
It's time for our Advent story. And I was like, I don't want to sit through the Advent story, but I want the little piece of candy. So
well, you got to sit through the story if you want the piece of candy. So as we're headed toward Christmas, we're talking about something that we discussed actually in your Christmas series last year, Dr. Shaw.
Yes.
Titled First Gospel. We talked about how the announcement of Jesus was much earlier than the Christmas story.
Right.
It took place much earlier than what we read in, you know, the beginning of Matthew or Luke chapter 2. It took place all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. And this is, wait for it, I'm going to give you a $10 vocab word. Here we go. It is the Proto-Evangelion.
Now, you pronounced that differently than you pronounced it about 2 minutes ago.
Well, that's because I confirmed the pronunciation.
Right. I was going to say something, but I was like, I don't know if I want to say it's not jelly on the air. Like, that's,
yeah.
I mean, it sounds delicious, but I just don't think that's how you pronounce it.
Put the jelly on.
Yeah.
It is Proto-Evangelion. And Dr. Shaw, will you just tell our listeners what that means for our discussion
today? Yes, of course. It's Greek for first gospel. And it's kind of based on the understanding that the first time the gospel was mentioned was in Genesis 3:15, when God, you know, gave that curse over, of course, the serpent.
Mm-hmm.
But in that curse, there was a hope of someone who was going to come, and he was going to break that curse.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So if you remember the passage I'm talking about is when he said, you know, the seed of the woman— mm-hmm. will crush the head of the serpent while the serpent is going to strike at his heel. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's, you know, the other way around. But anyways, that is known as the first gospel, the Proto-Evangelion.
Mm-hmm. It would probably be like the most hardcore Christmas sermon ever preached.
Yes.
Yeah. That is really cool. We talked a little bit last week about the book project that's coming out in the near future about the first gospel.
Yes.
But do you want to talk about just the Echoes series in general? That book, First Gospel, and really the sermon series before it that the book is based on, is part of a larger series that you kind of conceived called Echoes.
Yeah, Echoes means how often in the past, in history past, especially biblical history, you hear the echoes of the coming of the man of promise, the Son of God, the Messiah, the seed of the woman. I mean, there's so many different names that they're mentioned. And of course, when you get to Isaiah, you know, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I mean, all these are names. So in the book of Genesis chapter 3:15, you know, we hear the first echo, the first echo of the coming of the seed of the woman, the Son of God. And the project is supposed to go through the entire Bible, especially the Old Testament, really, up until the coming of Jesus, and just examine these echoes. You know, Jesus did not just, you know, drop out of the sky and then people try to build a story around him. Mm-hmm. No, they were expecting, they were hearing the reverberations of his coming. And then in the fullness of time, he came.
I love that. And I love how you brought that out in those messages about how, you know, God's plan of redemption is not something that was just, like you said, Jesus didn't drop out of the sky in the beginning of the New Testament. It's something that has been on God's heart and on God's mind since before time began.
That's right. And, you know, on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus came back after the resurrection and walked with his disciples, you know, he went through the Old Testament. He went through the law and the prophets to explain to them who he was. Mm-hmm. And their response once he left them was, didn't our hearts burn within us when he went through the scriptures? So the purpose for the Echo series is to have the same sense of burning in our hearts. And it's not a bad burning. It's not a hard burn. It is a good burning. It is a sense of passion. It's like your faith comes alive when you realize that the coming of Jesus was not some accident of history. It's the crescendo. It is the reason for history.
Yeah.
You know, people prior to his coming were looking forward to him.
That's beautiful.
Those in Israel and those outside. Since his coming, we look back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always him.
And it also puts, I think, our existence into perspective, because I know that's my kind of fallback is that history in the universe revolves around me because I'm the main character of my story. Right, I'm the only reference point that I know. And so all of human history has been leading up to this, to my life.
Yeah.
Right.
But knowing the truth of it, knowing that, hey, the apex of all of history was 2,000 years ago, and then 33 years later on the cross. Right. And that's something I've always admired about you, Dr. Shah, is that Christmas at every point always ends up back at the cross.
Yes.
Because the cross, and I don't think this is necessarily bad or evil, but it's always the empty tomb is what is seen as the culmination.
Right.
But really, it's the cross. The cross is where the work was finished.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
I love
that. And I want to emphasize that in this message as well, or in this segment as well, because, you know, of course, we don't call it the cross.
Right.
But it's the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, in those early primitive days, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't know a cross.
Right.
The Persians hadn't come on the scene and come up with the idea of this horrible way of killing people,
right?
The cross, or the Romans who perfected the art of crucifixion. So what did they call it? They called it the tree. Mm-hmm. That's why in many passages in the Old Testament, it talks about cursed is someone who hangs on a tree.
Hmm.
And that's not just suicide, folks. It's about a very spiritual implication there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when you go back to the Garden of Eden, you begin to hear about a tree. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you remember, you know, it says God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And then it goes on to say, I'm kind of trying to find verse 9, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree that is pleasant to the sight mm-hmm. and good for food.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, God had told them, you know, there are two trees. There is in Genesis 2:9, the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God said, you know, don't touch those trees.
Right.
Leave them alone.
Right.
And of course, as you know, Adam and Eve didn't obey, mm-hmm. and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Yeah.
Now, how does that apply to the coming of Jesus? How does that apply to the cross? And sometimes people think, oh, you're bringing too much of, you know, spiritualization on the text. No, it's not. If Christ is there throughout the Old Testament and he himself went through the Old Testament and showed who he was, then our purpose is to go back and look and see if that is really true.
Mm-hmm.
So really, in the garden, there are two trees.
Right.
The second one, let's look at it first, which is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But really, in the Hebrew, it is tree of the knowledge, good and evil.
Mm.
Okay? Tree of the knowledge, good and evil. Now, the reason I say that is because, you know, some people think it has some kind of a sexual meaning. I don't think so. Because, you know, God said, behold, a man has become like us, one of us to know good and evil. It cannot be sexual.
Right.
Some other people have suggested that it implies that Adam and Eve had all knowledge like God.
Like they just took a bite of the fruit and they just instantly know everything.
Everything. That's not possible either. Right. I mean, do you have all knowledge? I mean, you
absolutely
know,
we're
born in same vein as Adam and Eve, so we don't. God can become man, but man can never become God. So the knowledge is not that.
Right.
But the one that fits the context best is moral autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So, you know, in Deuteronomy 1:39, it says, moreover, your little ones and your children who you say will be victims who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there, for to them I will give it and they shall possess it. If you take that context from Deuteronomy 1 of how that phrase is used, it expresses moral innocence.
Right.
So, you know, once you eat that fruit, your moral innocence will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. Their eyes are open. The first thing they're like, oh, you're naked.
Mm-hmm.
I can't look at you.
Mm-hmm.
What changed?
Yeah, what changed?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's your moral innocence is gone.
It's
your
gone.
Whole perception is. I love that point. And it's a very subtle point. You would think, and I like how you point that out, you would think that most people wouldn't even notice the difference or even care, like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the knowledge, good and evil. But it's a very... even though it's subtle, it's a very distinct difference between mm-hmm. them.
Yeah, it's not knowledge of something.
Right.
It's just knowledge, good and evil.
Right.
It means you no longer can have that sense of, you know, the innocence that children have.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden they are exposed to this crazy thing called sin mm-hmm. and disobedience against God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just happened now.
Yeah.
So that is that first tree. We know about that. And then the second tree is a tree of life. Mm-hmm. Now, it is mentioned a few times in the Old Testament, but really, truly, it comes back in the book of Revelation, right? Mm-hmm. So all we know in the book of Genesis is once they ate of the tree of knowledge, good and evil, their moral innocence is gone. Mm-hmm. God bars them from going to the tree of life. Mm-hmm. Why do you think? Because if they ate it,
yeah, they'll be in that sinful state forever.
They'll be locked in there forever.
It's so beautiful to think about because we often see that angel guarding the entrance to Eden as a punishment, as a curse. We don't see it as God protecting them.
No, God is actually keeping them from locking themselves into this eternal state of moral, you know, promiscuity or moral depravity.
Yeah.
I mean, they would be locked in. Mm-hmm. So God says, no, we got to wait. Mm-hmm. But later on in the last book, which is Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, we hear about the tree of life. It comes back. Mm-hmm. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life.
Wow.
Which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Mm. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of his tree, and on either side of the tree was the
tree of life.
Mm-hmm. Tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Mm. And then, of course, Revelation 22, verse 12, you know, says, and behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is speaking these words. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life.
Yep.
And may enter through the gates into the city.
Wow.
So there you have the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Then you have the tree of life, which comes back in the end. Mm-hmm. But here's something, guys. There's a tree in the middle, and that tree is the cursed tree or the cursed tree.
Yeah.
And that's the tree on which Jesus hung.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So for you and I, we are stuck by the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Mm-hmm. We want to get to the tree of life, but God, through his grace, keeps us from going there. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't go away. It's still there.
Right.
In the end, it comes back. But you cannot get to that tree unless you go past the tree on which Jesus was crucified.
Yeah, there's very intentional imagery.
Yeah.
And I think it's beautiful. It's something that you know, how could it not be the truth?
Right.
You know, something so beautiful. I could never come up with something like that. Right. I don't know of any human mind that can come up with imagery and parallels like that on such a cosmic scale. It's got to be the word of God.
Yeah. You know, the cursed tree, there are some verses you want to read for us from Acts. There's Acts chapter 5, verse 30.
Sure, absolutely. It says, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree.
Acts 10:39
says, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Acts 13:29 says, now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb.
And then if you keep going to Galatians 3:13 and 1 Peter 2:24, it comes back again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If you want to read that as well
absolutely.
For us.
Yeah, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And then 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Now, maybe I'm reading too much into it. But on the hill called Calvary, Golgotha, how many crosses were up?
Three.
We know because Jesus was crucified between two thieves. Mm-hmm. So there you have the three trees, right? Mm-hmm. So I believe, maybe I'm reading too much. Right? Maybe I'm reading too much. Maybe too much spiritualizing happening here. Please forgive me for that. But if there is a tree of knowledge, good and evil, then there is a tree of life. Mm-hmm. In the middle is the cursed tree, and that's what Jesus hung on.
Yeah. Mm.
And to me, the hill called Calvary is the story of the trees.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the story of humanity.
Yeah.
You know, that's the story of humanity.
I wonder if, and I may be taking this even further into the spiritualizing realm, but the attitude of the thieves on either side, I wonder if that represents.
Oh, absolutely. The because themselves. one of them is welcomed into paradise.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
One of them is, you know, antagonistic. That would be the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Then of course we have Jesus on the cursed tree and right. then the thief who says,
today you'll be with me in paradise.
Yeah.
There's certainly an air of peace and redemption that comes on right. that, on that other tree, on that other cross.
I mean, of course, Revelation 2:7, which we just read, says, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
Yeah.
Could it be that when Jesus said that, today you'll be with me in paradise, mm-hmm. that he was actually referring to the trees?
It certainly could be.
You know, could be.
Yeah.
And so what I want us to understand is, you know, you cannot get from where you are, born in trespasses and sins, to the tree of life without passing or going by, stopping by the cursed tree.
That's true.
Because that's where our Savior died. That's where his body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us.
Wow.
And once you see that tree, by the way, you know, it's very interesting. If you study the Old Testament, repeatedly, they planted trees. Mm-hmm. Everywhere Abraham went, he planted trees. And then, if you study the law, okay, this is Leviticus or Deuteronomy, what you find is that God even tells them, do not cut down trees. Now, if you are putting a siege around a city and you need trees to do that, okay, you can do that, but make sure they're not trees that bear fruits and things like that. I mean, he has a special love and affinity for trees.
And you know what I noticed, and then maybe I'm reading too much into it, but when we went to Israel, tons yeah. of trees, they made right. it, they're very, very specific about the trees that are planted yep. in Israel.
That's
it's
right.
like a big, big thing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So, of course, through the years, through the centuries, through the millennia, the idea, the understanding of the importance of trees and how it's connected to the tree of knowledge, good and evil, and tree of life and the cursed tree, it's probably lost. But when you put these things back in place, you go, oh, wow, trees are important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just to clarify, we're not tree huggers. So not going to do that, but hope you understand.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's so beautiful. I love the fact that, you know, God orchestrates this grand, beautiful narrative, but yet still has touch points of imagery that we can latch onto and, yes. and just like layer upon layer of meaning
yeah.
that, you know, God's word is always fresh and continues to,
that's right.
to give us new truths about him.
Amen.
So beautiful.
Amen.
If you guys enjoyed today's topic or you have suggestions or for future topics, send us a text at 252-582-5028. You can also visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. And just a reminder that you can support us financially at that same website. Every gift that you give, and we are so thankful for our giving partners, by the way. Every gift that you give goes not only to building up this radio show, but to reaching countless people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, pointing them to the tree of life as they go past that cursed tree.
That's right.
It's beautiful. John, I'd like to end with something a little different today, if
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you give us your favorite destination that you have ever been to? Favorite locale, favorite vista, favorite?
I would say probably Taco Bell, but if I had to choose
Taco
a second,
Bell.
No, I'm just joking. No, in 2019, Dr. Shah took myself, David, and then again in 2020 to Israel. So I would say, and 2020, my wife also went. So it was a great time. Nicholas went. Mm-hmm. Yep. Nicholas went in 2020. David went again in 2020. I would say the Sea of Galilee. I don't know why. I'm usually not this type of like hyper spiritual person, but I just went. And as I was imagining, I just kind of dipped my hand in the water and was just like, I may never get the chance to see this water again.
Yeah.
I think I took some, I just took a bottle and just filled up some water to bring back home with me. But something about that just moved me. It touched me. And then we went out on the boat together and we yeah. did some filming on the boat on the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah. It's amazing when you actually are there. And of course, you know, all across Israel, you see trees.
Yep,
around right. the Sea of Galilee, there are different kinds of trees, and in the place where we were staying, you know, it's just amazing to
yeah.
see that.
I would say Sea of Galilee is my favorite locale.
Oh, wow, yeah, that's awesome. I had like travel in Vietnam. That's awesome. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.